you see a lot of brands whose innovation is actually driven by the retailers. And we as a brand try to actually do the opposite. We try to create the best product that we think the market needs and then leverage distribution to get those products out.
I'm your host, Dave Knox, and this is Predicting the Turn, a show that helps business leaders meet their industry's inevitable disruption head on.
Welcome to another episode of Predicting the Turn. Today, we sit down with Jordan Nathan, who is the founder of Caraway. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Really excited to chat today.
So why don't we start off with describing what Caraway exactly is?
Yeah, Caraway, we launched in 2019. We sell non-toxic kitchenware direct to consumer on Amazon and retail. And we launched with the mission to bring non-toxic home goods to all consumers. Started with cookware, taking on Teflon and bringing an alternative to market and ceramic nonstick. Fast forward 5 years later, we've expanded our mission into food storage, bakeware, kitchen utensils, and have really expanded what that word non-toxic means. Today, while we're certainly still focused on removing PFAS from the market, we've put a big emphasis over the past 12 to 18 months on microplastics and are excited to keep expanding into the rest of the kitchen.
So when you talk about that expansion that the brands had with a consistent mission, but expanding where you go, it's really followed your own life journey. Starting originally as that largely millennial, small apartments, et cetera, and now journey into family and expansion. How has that kind of affected your growth as a founder, as you've built the business?
Yeah, I think we've always stayed true to our values and missions of making all homes a non-toxic home. And I think for us, we've continued to, with every product launch or channel launch, maintain those same values. And I think as a founder, probably the biggest challenge is just operating a multi-product and multi-channel business. I think from the outside, launching a new product is an obvious new revenue stream for any business, but operationally, it can actually be quite challenging. So as we scaled the team, when we launched back in 2019, the team was four people. We're now close to 80 today, probably be close to 100 by the end of the year. It's increasingly challenging to support each channel that we sell in and also make sure that we're not just equally launching products really well, but supporting the core that we have sold for years. So I think just as we've grown and expanded, it's been really important to create clear ownership internally of go-to-market versus sustain products, and also make sure that every product we launch is really thoughtful and bringing to life the values that we initially entered into the market with our cookware set.
Let's talk a little bit more about that product innovation side. So as you mentioned, non-toxic, stylish cookware, that was the starting place, and non-toxic being the ethos. How have you maintained that mission and informed your product innovation along the way?
We've certainly taken a holistic approach as we look at the kitchen, and cookware was our initial entry product. And I actually, back in 2017, had a scare with a Teflon pan where I overheated one accidentally one night and actually got sick from the Teflon fumes, and really led into what we launched Caraway with. And some of the natural extensions for us right off of cookware was bakeware. We really like to think about everything surrounding cookware and where people go within their kitchen journeys. As we have expanded, we've seen big opportunities in food storage, in knives and utensils, and cutting boards. And I think very different than when we first launched, general consumers were decently educated that Teflon or PFAS were bad for you. But a big part of what we had to do early on was a lot of education around the brand. Fast forward 5 years from launch and today, there's a lot of articles and I think general consumer sentiment and knowledge around the dangers of what you're cooking with, whether it's PFAS or microplastics getting into your food. And so I think with that consumer culture change, we've had license to really expand that word non-toxic and go into some new categories. Every time we look at a category, ceramic doesn't necessarily have to be the material that we carry over. We really want to make sure that when we create a product, we are thinking very material forward, and we would never bring out something to market that we wouldn't be proud or comfortable with our kids eating off of or our family. And as we launch categories, we really look at what is the bespoke and perfect material for that category from both like a performance and design perspective. And so over time, we've started entering into woods and glass and different non-toxic materials really crafted for those specific categories. And I think what you sometimes see across brands is they'll try to force like a material or design language or certain features into new category that don't maybe make sense to that category. And so we always try to bring those same values and mission, but make sure that they work and adapt to something new that we're launching.
So adjacent to that, the brand was born originally as a direct-to-consumer, and since then you've expanded as an omni-channel. How have you adopted the products to think about the uniqueness of D2C versus what you can do in a retail environment as well?
We've always built Caraway as an omni-channel business. So when we started D2C, even before launch, when we were fundraising, we actually started retailer conversations at that point. If you're in retail or consumer, some of these relationships take years to come to fruition. I think from our perspective, creating accessibility was really important to the mission. And I think if we're going to stand for removing PFAS and microplastics from the market, we literally have to go and replace some of those products on physical shelves. And so we've always been really intentional with that omni-channel strategy and picking the right partners. And when it comes to product strategy in relation to channel, we're still young in our journey. We are still building products that can exist in all channels. And when we're doing our initial market research, we're not just looking at what's on Google search, but we're looking at Amazon. We're doing store walks at core retail partners to see what might be missing from the categories. And we truly try to create products that can live everywhere. I think you see a lot of brands whose innovation is actually driven by the retailers. And we as a brand try to actually do the opposite. We try to create the best product that we think the market needs and then leverage distribution to get those products out so that when you go to a retail shelf, you're going to get the same product, the same piece count, assortment, et cetera, that you would on our site. And then one thing just to note and add is I think as we're getting bigger and customers are shopping us in different ways across different mediums, what's really exciting about where we're headed is there are maybe some unique opportunities where a specific product way or color or assortment could potentially exist in one channel, but not the other.
Earlier, you mentioned that the conversation of forever chemicals and PFAS has changed. In your early days, you were maybe shouted a little bit from the rooftops, and now the general consumer is a lot more educated on it. With that shift, how have you continued the conversation and thought about the role that Caraway plays in that conversation?
We've always been very educational as a brand. And I think as we've gotten deeper into building the brand, we continue to just see major opportunity to be a credible, authoritative source on non-toxic. And so if you're paying attention to the brand over the last 12 months or even forward looking into 2025, we think we have a really great opportunity and chance to be the leading and trusting brand around non-toxic kitchen and home materials. And so I think it's great that the consumer is more educated, but I also think that can create more confusion because you're going to market and not every brand is necessarily truthful with the materials in their product or represent them in the right way. So we're always looking to see how we can educate, share test reports, and really make sure that we're the trusted brand on the market. And really interestingly, if you actually go to our site right now and you go to one of the drop downs, you'll actually see you can shop by PFAS free products, microplastic free products, lead free. And so we're starting to actually craft our purchasing journey around what materials you actually don't want in the product to shop by. So always looking to be on the leading edge there. And I think it's really exciting to see the consumer really waking up about what's in their kitchen. And I think we look at the past decade, there's been a lot of focus on food and organic, and excitingly, that's now making its way into the kitchen and the home. And I think for us, just maintaining high quality products with transparent materials is critical to success.
Talent is a big part of predicting the turn. And as we talk about talent, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Hunt Club. Imagine the power of the best marketers in the world helping you to find your next marketing leader. That's the power of Hunt Club. Hunt Club is a new category of talent company that powers the network of experts, connectors, and business leaders to help you find the best talent. Let's face it, recruiting hasn't changed with the times. Hunt Club is changing the recruiting game by leveraging technology and crowdsourced referrals to find you the best people possible for your company. Stop paying job boards that don't work or recruiting firms that recycle the same active candidates. Partner with Hunt Club.
Thinking about that education that you've driven, the brand has always been at this interesting balance of, on one hand, you're championing the non-toxic and education and being that authoritative, as you say, but then combining it with some world-class design and very on-trend colors and look and feel. How do you balance the two of those and maintain that the balance between them?
Yeah, I think what's great about the brand we've built is there's not a singular reason that people buy. You know, if you were to look at a post-purchase survey or ask an average customer, non-toxic is the leading reason. I think often across time, there's been an association that non-toxic or eco-friendly don't always visually look great. And so I think we as a brand really see our design aspect as the marketing vehicle that can bring people in. And that's certainly one element, but non-toxic, keeping your family safe is, I think, what closes the customer. And so certainly a balance, but I divide it as what we show versus what we say. The beautiful products bring people in. At the end of the day, they are buying it because they want something safe.
With that balance between what you show and what you say, how do you think about the role that social media has played with the evolution of the brand?
It's been a huge advantage. Obviously, the world's going more digital, and we were fortunate to launch, I'd say, at the boom of Meta ads and launch of TikTok. And I think for us, we've really just benefited in being able to educate our consumers, build community. We work with an ambassador program on the influencer side of over 3,000 individuals to help tell our story and how Caraway's impacted them. And I think we've really had the advantage of getting billions and billions of impressions over the last 5 years drawn to the brand. And I think, interestingly, we hear from our retailers that when people come to store, they say, oh, that's the brand that I've seen on Instagram. And I think we've really been able to build such a great customer base and awareness by being digitally driven and constantly on the pulse of culture.
Over the life of Caraway, you've had an interesting journey when it comes to the fundraising side of things. How did you originally go about fundraising for the business, and what's that journey been like since then?
Yeah, so we've raised $40 million in equity to date, and I would say every fundraising round we've had has been just an incredible challenge. So before we even launched, I raised a pre-seed round, and it took almost 10 months to close the whole thing. It was basically me in New York. I was carrying around pots and pans and like Lululemon bags around the subways, around the city, pitching investor after investor. I must have pitched close to 1,000 investors within that 10 months. When we were launching, there were actually five or six other kitchen D2C brands that had launched first. And it was challenging because most people already wrote their checks and picked their winner. So I was able to scrap together an initial round. And I think one of the challenges with that initial pitch was people were looking very narrowly at cookware and saying, okay, there's a few billion dollar market, but how big can this actually get? I think early on, probably had the mistake of not pitching the full vision. Luckily, was able to get the round done. And then we raised a seed round shortly after, which was an extension of that early pre-seed once we showed some success. And then we raised a growth equity round back in 2022, which was also just a really interesting time when markets started crashing. There was a lot of uncertainty and nobody was writing checks. I think all in all, we've done a great job of building a great business first that's able to support the mission that we're growing into. But as a business, we've always built to be profitable. We've built to keep ourselves cash flow positive so we could sustain our own growth and have really leveraged external funding to get the brand off the ground and invest in a couple core areas heading into the end of 2022 there.
So as you think about next steps for the business, where do you see Caraway continuing to evolve?
We're excited to keep growing horizontally. So over the next few years, we have a huge R&D pipeline that we're tremendously excited to launch. As a brand, we don't like to launch too much too fast. So looking at a couple launches per year, And as we continue to grow, we are called Caraway Home for a reason. So we're really thrilled that there's a ton of opportunity in the kitchen and home. And as the years go by, you'll start seeing us go into some more adjacent or extension categories that may not be obvious today. And then focus on channel expansion. And about 700 or 800 retail doors today. We have a sizable Amazon business and obviously very digital first with our D2C strategy. But at the moment, we're currently only US focused. We don't have any brick and mortar retail stores. So ton of opportunity for channel growth. And I think across all these, we're just really getting started. We see the world and consumer continuing to put a big focus into non-toxic. And we want to keep launching products with safe materials that maybe haven't existed in those categories to date yet. But we also want to look at where we're at and see where we can improve and make existing products even safer for the consumer.
As you've shared, the business has had a very interesting journey from your fundraising to your product expansion. You should sit down with other founders and talk about your journey. What advice do you give them about their own way to take their business and turn it into something that can aspire to be what you are today?
I think two things. Obviously, there's lots of learnings and mistakes that I've made over the years. I think one, the business just needs to work from the start. It's really hard to adjust margins or pricing later on. And so the upfront work of making sure that your unit economics can be successful and scale, your pricing model works, you have payment terms with all your core vendors for inventory. Those basics are really hard to change later. And I think for brands that want to be a mission-driven brand, it's really hard to have an impact if the business is only around for just a few years. Building the business before you can truly dive into the core mission, I think, is really critical so that you can sustain over time. And then I think long-term planning is crucial. It's really hard as a founder. There's so many things going on. There's fires every day to really get outside of your day-to-day task list and challenges that you're facing. But it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You want to be building out 5-10 years. And I think if you can take that long-term approach, I think one, it helps you think through what do I need to do today to get to where I want to be in 5-10 years, but also helps you prioritize saying not everything we need to do this moment. And I think when you take that perspective, there are certain opportunities that come your way that you could theoretically do at any point. And it really ties back to what do we actually need to get done today versus later to get to where we want to be in 5-10 years. And thinking farther out allows you to, you know, plan a great marketing calendar, product launch calendar that's always on versus being today focused. And I think that approach leads to a lot of success.
I think that's a perfect place to bring this to a close. So I appreciate you taking the time to sit down and chat today.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much, Dave. Really, really enjoyed chatting today.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, hit that rating and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more resources, head over to predictingtheturn.com.